Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Today I'm joined in the studio once again by Laura Snapes, music journalist and contributing editor to Pitchfork, to discuss some of this week's album releases. We will be mulling over new tunes by the country singer Brandy Clark, a supergroup called Case Lang Veers, there's a bit of a clue in the name, and the Japanese-American punk musician Mitski. That's all coming up on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller, on Monocle 24. Laura Snapes, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again.
We're going to start with Brandy Clark. She's a country singer. The album title has one of those, it's like, you know, those fridge magnet poetry kits you can get of Shakespeare and insults and stuff. I think there's a country album titles one. It's called Big Day in the Small Town. Apart from her impressively generic album titles, what do we like about her?
Well, Brandy Clark is, I think she's 40 now, and she's openly gay as well. And she's a bit of an outlier in Nashville because she spent most of her life as a songwriter for people like Miranda Lambert and the band Perry. And then she had an album out, her first solo album, 2 or 3 years ago, which is called 12 Stories, which came out on this tiny little label. And then suddenly it did massive things. It was nominated, I think she was nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys in 2014 and Best Country Album. And I don't think she won, but the nomination was still very big for her. And so then Warner snapped her up. And so this is her first major label album. And it's been made, the debut album was kind of, it was a bit more laid back. And this one, she's made it with a producer called James Joyce, and it's got a slightly kind of tougher edge to it. But she, you know, a lot of country at the moment is about this, about patriotism and about pride and kind of pride in ways of life where people are perhaps papering over the cracks, like the difficulties of actually having to live that way. Whereas Brandy Clark tells stories a lot about, I interviewed her recently and she said that she sings about women aged like 35 to 55. She sings a lot about mothers and a lot about kind of the everyday work that people have to do to survive. There's kind of a pride in survival in her music.
But this is an area that country music, in fairness to it, has always done a better job of examining, celebrating and singing about than many other genres. I mean, this sounds fairly clear-cut Loretta Lynn territory, for example.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just, I suppose if you follow kind of dialogues around country, the mainstream stuff has definitely moved away from this in the past few years. I think, you know, we were a couple of years past what was called bro country now, where it was all like, well, jocks and bros and drinking beer and hanging out, having parties on the back of your dumper truck or whatever it is.
And everything sounded like a jingle for a beer commercial.
Yeah, a bit like that. I think, you know, obviously people like Chris Stapleton are changing ideas around the genre now, and I think it's kind of reductive to think about it in terms of good country and bad country. But I think that what Brandy Clark is doing is simple, but she's also extremely witty and funny. And I guess, you know, that's also a classic country trope, but she feels kind of like a tonic at the moment.
Okay, well, let's hear a song from Big Day in the Small Town. This is You Can Come Over.
It'd be too easy to throw. You stay just long enough to leave me again, so you can come over.
Brandy Clark with You Can Come Over from her album Big Day in the Small Town. As you were saying, she started quite late, which in terms of being a solo artist at least, which I actually don't think is a bad thing for country singers, because it is songs of experience rather than pop's essential songs of innocence. Is that what she's doing? Do you think it was any kind of conscious progression that she would sort of make a name and, I guess, her fortune to an extent, writing the kind of big radio country hits for more established artists, and now she's doing the "and this is me" bit?
No, I think it was genuinely an accident, because she went to she's from a tiny town in Washington, and she went to college in Nashville because she wanted to be a performer and she wanted to be an artist. But then she saw the way that especially young women in the industry were kind of made over and molded and made to be into something that they weren't, and she decided that wasn't for her and she was going to become a songwriter. And she met a couple of people that she has been very successful at songwriting with, and so the songs that ended up on her debut album, they were all the songs that other people wouldn't touch, because about 90% of the time time she writes as characters. And the characters in her songs, they were expressing things that perhaps you're not meant to say in a country song. You know, that song we just heard there is obviously off the new album, and it's quite like a beautiful sentimental song about trying to resist somebody you know is bad for you. And that's the theme that comes up quite a lot. There's a really beautiful song on the first album. I forget exactly what it's called, but there's a lyric that says, it's about a woman who's contemplating whether she should cheat on her husband or not. And she says, what'll keep me out of heaven is what will take me there tonight. And it's all about her inner wrangling about whether she should get in this elevator or not. And so a lot of people wouldn't touch these songs because they were seen as being a bit risque. And so she was like, well, maybe I'll record them. So I don't think it was calculated.
Okay, well, I for one do look forward to hearing the rest of that album. We should move along to your next selection. This is a super group of singers. I guess you could just about call them country singers. Well, you could certainly call at least K.D. Lang a country singer, and you could apply that definition to Nico Case and Laura Veers, who have got together under the... Well, they didn't stay up all night working on the name as Case, Lang, Veers. I'm generally a bit suspicious of supergroups. How does this one work out?
Well, I think the test of any good supergroup is whether they're willing to be defined by the word supergroup. I feel like any group of people who embrace it are probably like right wrongins. Whereas I think most people, you know, the circumstances that have created this, it's not like they're like the Avengers and they've all got together to combine their powers and do something great for music. This did come out of very casual circumstances. I think K.D. Lang had moved to Portland, where Laura Veers lives, and Nico Case had been spending time there because that's where she's originally from. And they all met somehow. And K.D. Lang had wanted to form what she called a punky girl group for a long time. And she decided these would be the voices to do it with. So she just sent them an email saying, I think we should do this. And they both replied saying, I think we should do this too. But then in the recording of it, it kind of veered away from the punky Ronettes thing to become very beautiful kind of like golden Americana songs, I think.
That's kind of a shame that the punky Ronettes description, I for one would like to have heard more of.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I do think this album is incredibly beautiful. You know, that it's not, they didn't just bring fully written songs to the session and sandwich them together. It's very much like a collaborative process the whole way through, I think. All the songs are written by like two of them or even all three of them, and they take turns with the leads. And I think the way there's some parts where there's three-part harmonies where it's really beautiful, but they've also let a lot of space into there for people to kind of sing individually.
And have they managed to do that thing, which I guess is always the key question about a super group or enterprises of that sort, of not sounding less than the sum of their parts?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's about 14 songs on here, and they're mostly incredibly good. They all have that thing where they're very familiar and kind of comforting, but they seem like they're doing something new at the same time. You hear these songs and you think, how have they not been around forever? They're those kinds of melodies.
Okay, well, here is some of that album. This is Case, Lang, Veers with Delirium. Case, Lang, Veers there with Delirium. That did have a touch of the punky Ronettes about it, that particular track.
A little bit. That one is, I think, very audibly like kind of more of a Nico Case song than the others. But it's funny that it seems like that. I mean, it's her vocal that's on it, but I think it was very much written by Laura Veers and K.D. Lang, that one. That's definitely probably one of the punchier moments off the album. Everything else is a bit more kind of fluid and gossamer, I guess.
Okay, well, that album, Case, Lang, Veers, is out on Friday on Anti Records. They will be touring across the US this summer. They start in San Diego on June 22nd. You lucky San Diegans. We should move along to our final artist today. That's the Japanese-American singer Mitski. How do we know Mitski?
Well, this is Mitski's fourth album, but she didn't really get well known until the previous one. She made the first two while she was at music college, I think, in New York, and they're quite ornate orchestral things where she's kind of employed all of her bandmates to put together these, you know, quite impressive productions, something like a Grizzly Bear record maybe. But then for her third record, when she was, you know, no longer a student and living in an apartment in Brooklyn, she pared down her means. You know, she basically had to make the record using a guitar and amplifier. And so she kind of emerged as this, like, punky voice, but it's, you know, it's not necessarily traditional pop music. It's more kind of like angsty and emotional, and she's got a really brilliant, brutal way with words, I think.
Okay, the album is called Puberty 2. This is a track from it called Happy.
I lost the door.
That was Mitski with Happy from her new album Puberty 2. Actually, that was kind of punky Renette in itself. Is there a progression, do you think, from previous works? Is she evolving in any particular direction?
Yeah, I think definitely the production on this album, there's kind of, like you can hear on that song, there's a bit of saxophone on there, and there's these slightly kind of spacey production techniques on there. I think the way that song is put together is really interesting. It's called Happy, and it's about it's kind of about the fluctuations in one's life between being happy and sad. She characterises Happy as this man who comes over to her house, sleeps with her, and then when she's in the bathroom cleaning up, he's gone. And I think the tone of the song is really interesting. It has this kind of stubbornness where it refuses to kind of vacillate between those poles of, like, it doesn't sound ecstatic and it doesn't sound mournful. It just kind of, you know, fits in this stubborn middle ground. And if you listen to the end of the song, that strange saxophone squall just kind of continues and peters out. So I think there's a definite progression. I think there's some really ambitious things going on in terms of how the songs have been written. There's a song on there called Your Best American Girl, which is about, you know, she's half Japanese, like you said, and it's about going out with like an all-American boy and realizing that you're never really going to be good enough for him, and you're never going to be good enough for his mother either, and kind of having to end the relationship on those grounds. But also the way that she has put the song together, it sounds slightly like the Star Spangled Banner and also slightly like those like big anthemic American rock songs. So it's like she's unpicking all of these things at once. I think she's quite brilliant.
She reminds me a little bit of what I guess you could characterise as a pre-terrible Liz Phair. Do you think that's a fair comparison? There's that same very dry, droll, slightly self-mocking matter-of-factness about everything.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a bit of that going on. I think that there's perhaps more of a bluntness in what Mitski's doing. It's kind of less... I don't want to use the word sensationalist for Liz Phair, but it's like it's less carnal. It's a lot more kind of brutally blunt about the disappointments of life, I think.
On that happy note, Laura Snapes, thank you as ever for joining us. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. This show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for this week's theatre review. But for now, it's goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.